The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a great Thursday. It really is. And I have to just take a day to breathe over what I saw, you saw, what we all took in last night at the big ballpark, or if you're watching, listening, whatever. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. I was texting with their president, CEO Jeff Michie, last night during the game. He was there down third baseline with his daughter, having a great time. A big fan. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. Sometimes in our business, we just zoom right through. They talk about the news cycle. You have 24 hours to talk about something, and then because our attention span supposedly are too short, we just want to move on to the next thing. And I think sometimes that is not true when it comes to sports. Yeah, you know, if it's a Suns preseason game at Portland like tonight, it's DeAndre Ayton for a minute, 30 seconds. If it's the Cardinals trying to take down Cooper Kupp and the Rams and all that, it's a regular season game in October. What we saw last night at the ballpark, and I've been a part of this since 96. 96, when they were granted the franchise, I was there at the Breakers Resort in Florida. And we went out on the, where the ballpark is now, and it was just a field. And we got a little chalker. It was Jerry Colangelo, it was Rich Dozier, it was the team president, it was Joe Garagiola Sr., Joe Garagiola Jr. And we made a little diamond in this field, and we did a show down there, and we screwed around. That's what you do. You have fun with this. This is not brain surgery. It's sports. And so I was thinking about that last night or yesterday afternoon when I was driving to the park, like, man, they can't really sweep the Dodgers. This team lost, the Diamondbacks lost 110 games just 2 years ago. 110. And you've had to put up with just, you know, awful trades and poor moves. Ken Kendrick has taken a beating. Derek Hall has taken a beating. Organization has been snickered at, laughed at. And I sit here and say, yep, that's part of sports. Dealt with a lot of bad owners through the years. Fortunately for me, the very first owner I dealt with was Donald T. Sterling with the Clippers in San Diego. Bad owner. And then I dealt with Alex Spanos. Bad owner. There's been bad owners here in Phoenix. Most of them aren't good. But I will tell you this about Ken Kendrick. Ken Kendrick, for many reasons, I feel like does care, does give a bleep. You may not think that. It's interesting. I was with Ken in the locker room last night briefly as the champagne was flying, the beer was flying, talked to him about the moment. And people went right to his political side, which is like, guys, I don't care. What I care about is, will the team be competitive? Like, if you think of Ken Kendrick and you put yourself in the owner's position, let's just say you were the owner of a pro sports franchise. Would you have stuck with a manager that hadn't got the team to the postseason since 2017? Probably not. Would you have stuck with a general manager that was going through all sorts of things personally, most notably about to lose his wife, but the trades that he was making, and we go back to the Goldschmidt trade, weren't working out. The Madison Bumgarner signing, not working out, throwing huge, huge money. And the team just 2 years ago lost 110 games. How many owners would stick with the people that were in place of losing that many games? How many? And so when we, and I think it just is a trickle-down effect. We used to joke about Christian Walker was Dave Kingman. It was all or nothing. Well, that's not the case anymore. Gold Glove over at first base, he's a rock. He's a rock. They go make trades that end up becoming Gabriel Moreno and Louis Gurriel. Talk about that with Toronto last offseason for Dalton Varsho. That's a steal. That's a fleece. If you go and look at the bullpen and what they had to do to take the bullpen that wasn't good in July and where it is now, you would have to say what a hell of a good job that they've done in that spot, Mike Hazen and his people. And so I last night, the chanting of Beat LA and all that's great. It was full throat. It was full throttle. The building does feel old to me. I'm in the concourse trying to walk through. I went to go visit someone down in the stands, and it was really hard to get around there because the concourse is too small. It just is. And we don't want to hear about that when the team is losing 110 games. But I sat in a suite earlier this year, and it's run down. It's not very nice. Chipped cement, little things that are big things. And so I get where the stadium is. And I'm bringing the stadium up because that's whenever this train ride ends, if it ends with a World Series championship, I'm just telling you, I'm sitting here in the middle of October, that by the time we get to the middle of December, the stadium is going to be on the full front burner. Because now the team's going to say, look, we did this. We got to get the stadium addressed. It's coming. It's coming. But on to better things, more fun things, not brain surgery things, not splitting atoms things. This is the Dodgers they took apart. So like the four home runs last night, I'm sitting there saying, okay, one home run, wow, two home run, three, four. And it just, to me, contextually, where do you put that inning? Where do you put that third inning in the history of Arizona Diamondback baseball? Where do you put that inning in the history of Arizona sports? Is it just a throwaway? Is it number 20 in the history of Arizona sports? Is it number 10? Is it number 50? Is it, Brad, you're making too big of a deal? No, I'm not. Because if you think about it, Luis Gonzalez's base hit against the Yankees to win the World Series, that is the number one play in the history of the Diamondbacks. It is. Randy Johnson having a perfect game. Would you put that at number two? Would you have Tony Womack? Some people, I put this on social last night, some people reached out and said, you forgot about Tony Womack, game six, big hit. Yep, big hit. Got it. But they were already in the World Series. And yes, it kept them alive in the World Series, but they already got there. This last night, this is a team that lost 110 games 2 years ago. This is, they haven't lost yet in the postseason. This is the Dodgers, the dreaded Dodgers that won 100 games again. And, you know, regular season baseball, go look at the Baltimore Orioles. Thank you for playing, they're out. Go look at the Dodgers, won 100 games. Thank you for playing, they're out. It's not how you start, it is how you finish. It is the moves that you make as postseason approaches. It is the phone call from Brent Strom to Brandon Pfaadt over the All-Star break saying, we're going to need you in the playoffs and we're going to need you down the stretch. I mean, wouldn't you love that as from a boss? One of your superiors calls you and says, 2 months from now, we're really going to need you big. So grow up, get ready. And that's what they did. That July phone call, when Pfaadt was talking about that story to us on Monday, it sent chills down my spine. Like, that's so cool. That's so great. I saw Corbin Carroll in the dugout yesterday. It was like an hour and a half before the game. And I asked him a long-winded, silly question on Monday. It wasn't the best phrased question on my part. It just had to do with, you seem so unaffected and so unassuming about all this media stuff. Where does it come from? And he was just like, oh. So I reminded him that yesterday. And he's like, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It was whatever. All Corbin Carroll does is produce. That's it. All this team does is produce. There is none of this look at me, none of this social stuff. Look at my followers. Look at my endorsements. Look at my shows. Look at all the garbage that goes on outside of just show up, shut up, and play. And that's why I find this team so embraceable. You know, everything about last night was positive on so many levels. I'll go back to Pfaadt. You're telling me that Brandon Pfaadt hasn't grown up here in the postseason? Like, this has been Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly and hope. I can sit here right now and look at spring training next year and say, Brandon Pfaadt is, all right, he's growing. He's now not a question mark. You know, he's going to get on the mound against the Braves or Phillies. He's going to be in that environment. And it's fun to see that. It's fun to see young players come of age. Obviously, what we're seeing with Corbin Carroll, And what we're seeing with Alec Thomas could be really interesting in the offseason, the moves they make with this team, because they are becoming bursting at the seams. Gabriel Moreno, very interesting. He's going to be able to play in the NLCS. That did come out last night. So last night, just to give you a context, just a little bit of where we were. So the eighth inning, I leave, press box, go down, and I'm standing outside the Diamondbacks locker room. I'm actually hoping they wheel the champagne by just so I can get a picture. They didn't, which is fine. So could have gone down on the field. They had the media sequestered in a tunnel right outside so that when the game ended, we would have access to them on the field. I decided just to stay behind and be in the locker room. So walk in the locker room. Yeah, obviously there's champagne flying and beer flying. But this time, Torrey did not speak with cameras going. That had already taken place. Whatever was said had already taken place. And it was everybody going crazy, and rightly so. And off to the side, I see this gentleman over in the corner, and it's Ken Kendrick. And so I walk over to him, and I'd spoke to Ken in August, and the Diamondbacks managing general partner, the owner of the team. And he keeps a low profile. He does. But I went over to him and just said, you know, congratulations, what are you thinking? And he said, we're in the Final Four. I feel so good for these guys. And it was a cool moment. Then we just sat there and kind of shot the breeze for a little bit, and then I moved on. But, you know, leaving the stadium last night, a lot of Dodger fans were angry. Dodger fans are just weird. I'll have to tell you that. I got into an elevator before the game, and there was a Dodger fan trying to incite a bunch of Diamondback fans before the game even started. It was just dumb. Yeah, we'll show you. Like, really, we're going to get into a fight in the elevator? Not me, but it was just really you're trying to get into a fight in the elevator. You're just one of those guys. That's what makes you tick. Whatever. So it's great. It's just me rambling today. Just some three-dot thoughts, as I like to say. That is it for today. And we will be I'm actually headed to my son's parents' weekend. So off to Colorado. And I will see you either in Philadelphia, Atlanta, or here. That's all I know.